I just had the opportunity to spend some time with some absolutely wonderful people who are serving the Lord in a powerful way. Their names are Spencer and Annette Nickel. And in a wonderful, pristine setting of the Rocky Mountains, they spend their time serving those that are serving the Lord. They spend time with pastors and missionaries who are needing a season of refreshment, who are burnt out, who are struggling, and they give them love, and they give them care, and they give them conversation, and they give them prayer. And I wanted to let you know about that because their ministry, it's called Bighorn Ministries, is a great opportunity. If you have a pastor, or if you are a pastor, if you know a missionary, or if you are a missionary that could use some time with someone that would simply help them enter a season of refreshment, you want to consider Bighorn Ministries. It's a great place, and I've grown to love Spencer and Annette deeply, and I want to encourage you that if you know someone that's moving toward burnout or tired or frustrated or dealing with deep wounds, please consider giving them the information. You can go online and find their ministry under Bighorn Ministries, and well, they couldn't come with a higher recommendation from me. So today, I want to talk about the degree to which Jesus is able to touch our lives and change everything. And I know he's done that in my life. And when I say change everything, it's a process of changing everything. Because yes, I've been changed, but I'm being changed, and there are some things that still need to be changed. But I'm going to start with the story of Cornelius and Peter that comes in Acts chapter 10 and 11. So one of the things that was true of the children of Israel is they had some real serious laws about what they could eat and what they could touch. And the one thing that was very clear is that they were not permitted to touch anything that was categorized as unclean. And unclean would have meant unacceptable. And that involved foods, that involved places, that involved hanging out with certain peoples, that if they became unclean, then there were limits to their own ability to have access to God and access to the channels of God's grace in their lives. So now we come to the story where there's a man named Cornelius who is God-fearing, and he has a vision. And in this vision, he is told to contact a man whose name is Peter and ask him to come. And so Cornelius obeys this vision, obeys God. He sends some of his servants to find Peter, and they tell him the story, and Peter decides that he will go back. But this is a very serious issue because Cornelius is, well, he's a Gentile. He's part of the unclean. It wouldn't be permissible for Peter to go there. But in order to influence Peter, at the very same time that Cornelius was having his vision, God had given a vision to Peter. And it was a vision of a sheet being dropped down from heaven. And in this sheet were all kinds of unclean animals, lizards, birds, animals with hooves. And he heard a voice say, "Kill and eat." In which Peter said, "There is no way I'm going to kill and eat. These are unclean animals. I am not permitted to eat these animals. I'm not even able to touch these animals without it having an impact on my own spiritual standing." But then this word is given: "Do not declare anything unclean that God has made clean." Now, boy, that captures my attention. Do not declare anything unclean that God has declared to be clean. Now, first, let's be honest about this. Unclean did not mean they've been scrubbed down until they have no germs. In terms of these birds and lizards and hoofed animals, let's be clear. The lizards would still have had dirt on them. The pigs would still have rolled in pig mud. And birds would still have eaten on carrion. So what did God mean when he said, "They are now clean"? He means that even in the midst of, well, some dirt and some bad habits and some ways that, well, aren't aligned with good health, even in the midst of all that, God is now declaring them as acceptable, that they've received his touch, and because they've received his touch, they can be embraced. And so this is why Peter, when the men later came to tell him about Cornelius, that Peter went with him. And in going, he shared the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on these people, people who would have been declared unclean. And yet in God's grace, that which was far away had now become acceptable. All right, I want to change direction for just a moment. And trust me, I'll bring this back around. In experimental psychology, they do a lot of little experiments, if you will, to see people's attitudes about certain things. And there's a theory called the theory of negative dominance. And it means that when something bad touches something good, it then spoils that which is good. Well, what would be an example of this? Well, they use some rather interesting examples. One of them would be if there was a piece of pie and you were outside and suddenly a bird passing by defiled that pie. Does the goodness of the pie make what the bird deposited good, or does the bad of what the bird deposited now make the pie unacceptable? Well, I asked that question recently in a seminar, and there is no question. Everyone said, I wouldn't eat that pie. Another experiment would be to imagine someone taking a cup from a large bucket of pure water, and they reach a cup down in, and they bring the cup to their mouth, and they put some water in their mouth, and then they spit that water right back into the bucket. Now, did all that pure water cause the water that was in the person's mouth to become pure? Or would most people feel that now that someone has done that, that water is spoiled? Well, again, I asked the crowd, and they all said, I'm not going to drink that water. Well, we can go on and on. And some of this is actual. For example, if you have a 25-egg omelet and one egg is rotten, well, the belief is that the bad turns the good bad. Well, why isn't it the good, which is overwhelming, turns the bad into good? It just doesn't, except when it comes to Jesus. You see, when Jesus, who is holy and good, touches that which is unholy and bad, it turns the unholy into holy. It turns the good, the bad into good. And that's what we see all through Scripture. Jesus touches Zacchaeus. His life was totally out of control, and suddenly he was far away, and now he's acceptable. The Gadarene demoniac, it's the same way. When Jesus touched the Gadarene demoniac, it didn't cause Jesus to suddenly become unholy. It caused the Gadarene to become free. The same is true of the adulterous woman who washes Jesus' feet, or the woman caught in adultery, or the woman at the well, and all the other individuals in Scripture that Jesus touches. His touch transformed them. Now, this is something we need to think about. I met some Christians recently that they really believe they have to separate themselves from anyone that is not holy, as though what's on them will jump onto the Christian. Well, I wonder if it isn't the opposite that we could look at, that we are to be light, and that as we carry that light, it actually has the impact of influencing that which is unholy to turn to that which is holy. Let's go back for a moment to my own story. So Jesus touched me, and I can be crystal clear about the fact that when he touched me, I was bad. I was unclean. I was unacceptable. And yet in his grace, he touches me, and all of a sudden, I who was far away am drawn near. I who was a slave become a son. I who was struggling to learn what my identity was find that my identity is secure in Christ, all because Jesus reaches out and touches me. The holy touches the unholy, and it makes the unholy acceptable. But acceptable doesn't mean that there still aren't some issues, that there still isn't room for growth. Well, it's the same thing with the story of the lizards and the hoofed animals and the birds. God says to Peter, don't declare that which is unclean, something unclean that I have made clean. Well, they still had dirt, they still had bad habits, and yet now they are acceptable. And that's true of me. When Jesus touched me, I didn't instantly turn crystal pure, but I did instantly become holy, separated, acceptable. And now through a long process, God continues to help me to live out of what is true of me in Christ. helping me to align my life according to the principles of the gospel. So holiness doesn't mean pristine. It means acceptable unto God. And so we have to have a non-judgmental attitude when it comes to people that are pursuing faith in Christ. There are going to be areas in their life that still need healed and sins that still need turned away from and attitudes that need to be repaired and character that needs to be developed. But that doesn't mean they're not holy. That doesn't mean they're not acceptable. And I think that's part of what God is getting at in this story that we have in the Bible of Peter and Cornelius and a sheet being lowered with animals that were previously declared unclean. God is saying to us that our attitude is not to be one of judgment, but acceptance of all of those who have been touched by Christ, even when there's still miles to go in their own Christian formation. And even though now I'm, you know, even past my mid-60s, there are still miles for me to go in my own formation. And God is patient and loving and accepting, and I am His child. You see, the touch of Christ made me acceptable. The touch of Christ brought me to His heart. And while there are issues, my security in Him is unquestioned because of what Jesus did. So while in the world we talk about the theory of negative dominance, that when bad touches good, it turns good bad. When it comes to the kingdom, when good touches bad, it transforms everything. In an instant, we become His child, and over a lifetime, we become shaped into His image. And that's the glory of the gospel of Christ. Now, here's something I think is important for you to know about this story. Peter faced opposition for this. You see, after all these generations of being told that you don't touch the unclean, you don't associate with the unclean, and all of a sudden God says, don't call something unclean that I have made cleanly. As Peter goes and spends time with Cornelius, the other followers of Christ really raise up and say, hey, what's going on here? This is wrong. You just went among the unclean. But then Peter tells this amazing story of how the power of the Holy Spirit fell down upon them. And it transformed these early Christians, these early Jewish Christians, into a new paradigm of understanding that the gospel is for all people, and that when the gospel touches people, people that were far away are drawn near. People that weren't part of the promises now have the promises. People that weren't part of the covenant now are part of the covenant, even when there's still a little dirt, a little bad habit, some practices that aren't totally acceptable, but they are acceptable. Now, this wasn't just an instruction that God was giving. It was a reflection of His heart. That's God's heart. It reflects back to a bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick I will not put out. He hears the prayers of the destitute. He longs to bring the broken into His own heart. This is what God is all about. And this is what God wants His children to be all about. And God confirmed this there that day, 2,000 years ago, when there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those previously declared unclean. Now remember that even in that moment when they came to Christ, there were issues, there were things they didn't understand about the gospel. They would need to be discipled. And yet, they had been made clean because of the touch of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we could operate more by love and less by judgment. And oh, that we could know that the power of Christ is greater than the power of darkness, and stop worrying so much about whether that which other people are doing that are yet to follow Christ is going to jump on us. Why can't we believe that the power of Christ in us can jump on them? And that we want to associate more with those that are broken and wounded and wandering, believing that the Jesus in us is great enough to initiate change and transformation in their lives. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, wow, I'm so grateful that You, Lord, reached out and touched my brokenness, touched one like me that was so unclean, And you turned that which was bad into good because of your touch. And thank you, Lord, that you're still working on me to help me to live out of what is now true of me in Jesus Christ. Folks, I think this is the greatest news. And if you're struggling today and you still have areas like I do where you want to see God bring about change, don't let the evil one beat you up as though you're not something special, because you are. And you've been made that way by the touch of Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. All the promises of God are yours in Jesus Christ. You've been anointed. You've been set apart. And yes, the Holy Spirit wants to work on us to, well, clean off the dirt and to change our habits and to keep us from feeding on carrion. Even though that's true, we belong to God. You belong to God. And you have been declared holy because of the wonderful touch of Jesus Christ in your life. I hope this word strengthens you for today and reminds you of how much God loves you, how much God loves us, and that no matter what's true of you today, His face is shining on you. May God bless you today until we're together again.